Great to see you guys again. And I was just thinking to myself again that it's as if I blinked and suddenly we're in June. I can remember the 1st of January so clearly. I remember all the New Year resolutions that I made. I used to be an accountant, so there's this thing I do. I plan every single thing. Everything has to be written down. And I have like these, you know, vast spreadsheets with all sorts of things, budgets. Then I have like loads of sheets of paper that I write my plans out. This is what I'm going to achieve this month. This is my timetable. This is what I'm going to be doing. And I looked at my timetable and all these things last week, and I was like, man, I haven't really done a lot of these things. Life is just like really going by so quickly. Okay, so we've been looking at a topic that I've called making the most out of life. Making the most out of life. And the reason I believe this came to my heart is because life is really short. And if we're not careful, we might just wake up one day, 5 years has 5 years have passed, 10 years have passed, 20 years have passed, 30 years have passed. And we're like, where did all this time go to? So we really want to be intentional about living our lives, even if we're, you know, slightly on the older side. I was teasing my older sister a couple of years ago when she turned 50. I said, "Wow, you're now like half a century old," and she gave me like this reply by text, like, "What do you mean I'm half a century old?" And looking at myself, I'm half a century old already. And that just, I think that just sets off a number of things in your mind, as in really reflecting on life so that even as you grow older, you don't have any regrets. Do you get what I mean? So there were four questions that I asked. I don't know if we still have the slides. Do you know where the, can you show us the slides? So I posted this, we have like an Instagram page, so we post on social media sometimes. Don't show it yet. Don't give the, let the cat out of the bag. You can put it back. Okay, I guess you can leave it. So we had this social media post that we post on Instagram. So I took four Instagram posts asking these four questions before I posted them. So I showed them in church on Sunday. So the first question is this. I called it life question one. What do you want from life? Really? And when I say what do you want from life, I'm not talking about what other people expect you to want from life. I remember when I was growing up, my parents had they had several plans for me, which were fantastic. And a lot of people have plans for me. Even till now, people have plans for me, which is good, which shows that people have concern for me, they have concern for you. But this question is directed to you as an individual. Put aside everybody's expectations of you. I'm not saying we should discard them. They're good. But I want you to reflect and ask yourself as an individual that first question. What do I really want from life? What would really give me the satisfaction I think I desire? So that's the first question for us to reflect on. The second question is this. What will give you the satisfaction that you've lived your life to the fullest? And I gave an example at the start 2 weeks ago. I said that I've been with people that they've been given maybe a few days to live, a couple of weeks to live, and they know that they're actually going to go to meet the Lord a week from now, 2 weeks from now. And at that point, things fall into perspective. Because you know, you begin to question yourself and say, what's really important? What has given me the sense that I've actually lived my life to the fullest? But we don't have to get to the point where we're 100 or 120, if we live to be 120, And we're now like, what would have really given me satisfaction in life? So the question is, what will give you the satisfaction that you've lived your life to the fullest? 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 50 years from now, when you are 100 and something years old, what will give you that full satisfaction? That's question number two. Flip to the next slide, please. So this brings me, sorry, these are social media posts, so that's why it's, we use Canva, that's why it seems so graphically. I didn't just do this for good. So the second question, the third question is this. How would you feel at the end of your life? Sorry, how would you feel if at the end of your life you don't have the sense that you lived or done all the things that you've dreamed about? How would you feel? Transport yourself to that place. How would you feel? And the last question, or the fourth question, is what are you going to do about questions number one, two, and three? What are you going to do about it now? What are you going to do about it tomorrow? So these are some of the questions that were floating through my mind with regards to life. Because we don't want to get to the place where you're like, man, what have I done with my life? Now, I'm going to mention a number of things around that, what have I done with my life, in a minute. But just questions for us to really reflect on. And I'm just going to recap on some of the things that I said in the first when we started the series. I said, life is short, number one. I also mentioned that in the time of Christ, his disciples came to him. They asked Christ loads and loads of questions. When are you going to restore Jerusalem to us? What's going to happen when this happens? And so many questions. And there was a time, I believe, they were asking him questions about life. Jesus was about to depart. Some of them were asking the question, what must we do to do the works of God? What must I do to be, quote unquote, a really good Christian? Do I have to attend church every Sunday? Do I have to go out and talk about Christ? Do I have to go to India or Siberia or to preach the gospel? What do I have to do? And they were asking Jesus these things, I believe, very passionately. What do I need to do? Tell me. But Jesus' response was a bit interesting. He gave them a response, and that's a response that we looked at in a lot of detail when we started. The response he gave them was from John chapter 17 and verse 3. Don't worry, you don't have to turn there. I'll just quote it off head. The response he gave them was this. He said, this is eternal life, that you may know Jesus Christ. No, you may know God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. So Jesus refocused their attention to say, look, life is not just about doing things in the context of the church. We should. And I gave an example as well when I'm still just recapping. I gave an example of my late wife. And in the early days of our marriage, I was like Mr. Action Man. I would, you know, go out, travel from here to there, work, do that, spend late nights just working, trying to make more money. And I loved buying things for my wife then. I would, you know, say, you know, this is a surprise gift, that, and that, and that, and that. And she sat me down one day and she said, look, Pastor B. I'm not quite sure if I was a pastor then. She sat me down and said, look, I really appreciate everything that you're doing. I appreciate the fact that you work so hard. I appreciate the fact that you do all these things. You try and make sure that we have everything we need as a family. However, that's not what I want from you. And at that point, I'm like, you know, where's this going? And do you know what she told me? She said, all I want is you. I appreciate everything you do, but all I want from you is to sit down with me and just to spend time with me. That's what she said. And I remember that on some of those days after, it didn't really click at first for me, but I was like, you know, I mean, And there were days that we would sit down, maybe we would, and after the kids had gone to bed, well, they're not kids anymore, we would just be there and we'll talk from like 8 in the evening till 2 in the morning. What were we talking about? I don't really remember. So Jesus was saying here, and he's saying the same thing to us, that yes, there are things that we need to do as part of the church, but Jesus wants you. He wants you and I. And he begins to tell his disciples this because Jesus knows that the only thing that will give us the true satisfaction we require, no, not that require, the true satisfaction that we all desire, the satisfaction that we think maybe we'll get if we work a little bit harder, the satisfaction that we think we'll get if we get like a nice mate, the satisfaction that we think we'll get if our spouse is nicer to us, or if we get that next job, or if we get this and that. Those things are good, but I can tell you, Jesus pointed back to the disciples to say, that will not give you the satisfaction that you need. The only thing that will give you the satisfaction is knowing God. Focusing your heart, focusing my heart, on really getting to know God. So that's what we spoke about last, the first time. Then Dickness spoke about having an attitude, a certain kind of attitude of just really, you know, putting aside all worry, putting aside all the things that bug us down, and just have the attitude that, look, irrespective of what's happening, I just want to focus on my relationship with God. So those are the things that we spoke about, just giving us context. Now, so I'm talking about the third part today, and I'll just speak about that for about 20 minutes or so, and I'll end. So looking at making the most out of life, there's something that also came to my mind around how we can begin, or how we can increase in terms of making the most of our life. And what I've called this one is living life in the context of the church. Living life in the context of the church. Now, what does that mean? I'm going to make a number of points this morning. But I'm going to read Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Slightly long read. Talking about the early disciples and how they lived their lives. So I'll read Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many signs and many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. It says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with gladness, with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So we see how the early church lived when the church actually started. It describes a people who lived and loved one another. And I'll say to bits. They really loved one another. And the Bible says this love was so intense that some of them sold their properties so that they could actually give to other people in the church who didn't have any means of sustenance. Now I'm not saying we should go and sell our properties this morning, so I'm just gonna put a PS there. But they loved one another so much that it was like, look, if my brother or my sister is in need, I will do everything in my capacity to ensure that they're not, that need is met, that I'm really showing love that is practical. So that's the context of what we'll be looking at today. So the first point I'm making here is this, that bringing this to life, we begin to experience fulfillment in life as believers in the context of the church, as we give and receive and commit to receiving the type of love that was demonstrated here as being a member of the church, as being a member of a local church. What do I mean by that? I believe that God wants us to experience this fulfillment in the context of the church. Am I saying that we can't experience fulfillment as individuals? Yes, we can. But there's something about the local church and the way God has made it, that God has made it in such a way that we begin to experience the fullness of fulfillment in life as we live as part of the church community, intentionally and with all our hearts. What do I mean by that? You know, I have some, I used to go to this church when we were long time ago, the first church that we attended. A lot of the people in that church are still like my really good friends. A lot of them are pastors and all that. But there was something about this group of people. And, you know, I'd just been a Christian for a few years. But there was something about this group of people at the church, the first church I attended then. These guys, I mean, they loved, we loved each other to an extreme. To the point that there was a time, I'm not saying we should do this, I'm just giving this as an example. I knew that I would never go hungry. Whether I had money or not, whether I had a job or whatever, I knew that somebody would look out for me. And it was so extreme that there was a time that my wife and I wanted to buy our first house. Well, we wanted to buy a house then. And we were like, we were quite young and we didn't have the deposit. I mean, how do you save a deposit? You know what I mean? There was absolutely no way we could save a deposit or anything. And my wife was like, look, let's buy this house. And I was like, how are we going to buy it? There's no, you know, we don't have any money to pay a deposit. And one of the folks in church, they got together with us and they said, what's happening here? And we're like, you know, we're really good friends. We said, well, we want to get a deposit and all that. And you know what this couple did? They said, look, we don't have any savings ourselves, but we're going to do something. I was like, you know, what are these folks going to do? They actually went and borrowed money from their bank. We didn't know this till after they had given us the deposit. And they gave us the money for the deposit. Then later, they were now telling us that, look, oh, they went to this bank to get a loan. The bank declined. They now went to another bank and finally they got this loan. I was like, why did you guys do that? Oh, they said, we did that because we wanted you guys to have the deposit. And I was taken aback. I was like, look, these guys are not my family members. We're not related by blood. Why would they do this kind of thing to me? Well, they did it because we're part of the church. I can say so many things. And that has really shaped my own life as well. There was this particular church as well, that there was someone who was falsely accused and they put that person in a jail cell. Going to a jail cell they put this person in a jail cell and the members of the church went to that police station and they were right there. And I think one of them asked to say, look, can you put me in the jail? This is not fiction, by the way. Can you please let me spend time in jail with this person so that they won't feel lonely? And the police people were perplexed. But they didn't leave that police station. They were at the police station. They were there till this person got released because they had been accused falsely. They said, we're not going to leave here. We're going to be here till this person comes out. So what am I saying? God expects us to live in the context of the church with that kind of love for one another. And I tell you, when we begin to, well, I'm not saying when we begin to do that, because I know that to an extent the church does that. There is something that begins to happen where you know that your life is being, you're living a life that is making a difference in the life of another individual, when you're able to sacrificially support someone. Now, I'm not talking about money all the time, but sacrificially give your time, your effort, your life for the person who is part of the body of Christ, who is in the same church as you. It does something to you. It really does something to you. So that's the first thing, living our lives as part of the church so that we can give and receive that love that God has, you know, put in each and every one of us. Do you get what I mean? Now, the second thing I want to mention, I have a few points. So talking about making, living life in the context of the church. So the first point I made is that God wants us to live life as part of a family, part of the church family, to experience that fulfillment that we all desire so much. Now, the second point I want to make is this. If I'm saying we should live life in the context of the church, and I've described a number of scenarios here, you realize that these scenarios are not common nowadays, but they were commonplace back in those days. So the question is this, what is the church? What is the church? Why am I asking the second question, what is the church? Because as we begin to understand what the church is, then we'll be able to live life in the context of the church in such a way that we can get this fulfilled, well, that we by the way, become fulfilled as we go through life. Now, I'm asking this question, what is the church? Because I think there are times that a lot of people have different opinions of what the church is. I remember there are times that I've been out on the streets. Maybe just we have our stand. We do that quite often. And I'm talking to people and we get into a conversation and I talk about church. A lot of people think, or a lot of people will tell me, oh, I don't go to that church. Do you go to that church? And in the conversation, they're actually referring to a building. They're referring to church as a building. And what I end up saying is that, look, yes, we meet in a church building, like we're meeting now, but the church is not the building. The church is actually the people. So we are God's church. You might be saying, oh, Pastor Benson, you're preaching to the choir. We know that already. Yes, we know that. But I'm not quite sure a lot of us leave it experientially. So we know what the church is. We know that the church is people. But we don't leave it experientially. Well, a lot of the times we don't leave it experientially. So one thing is this. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15. Paul was telling Timothy something here that describes the church. He says, "If I am delayed, you will know how you ought to conduct yourself in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of truth." So, Paul refers to the church as God's household. He refers to the church as God's family. Now, why is it important that Paul describes the church as God's family here? It's important because if we do not really see the God, if we do not really see the church practically as God's family, then we're not going to treat the church like God's family. What do I mean by that? You know, one might look at the church and say, well, it's a place I go to on Sundays, whenever I have the time, that's fine. One might look at the church and say, well, I like the music in that place. I like the music there. And I like it when Pastor Benson sings. I like it when, you know, and we put our context of the church to the music. I'm not saying that's bad. Sometimes it might be like, okay, I think the church, I will I need to go to that other church because I like the way the pastor preaches, which is fine. I need to go to that church because that's I like this and that. So all those things are fine. But the basis of the church, one, is recognizing that the church is God's family. And as you join a church, you're actually, well, as you join the, as you join a local church, you're actually joining a family. You're not joining a social club. You're not joining an organization. Although we have structures in terms of the church, we have like a church office and all these things. But that's not what you're joining. You're putting your foot forward to become part of a family. Do you understand? And all these things, they seem like really simplistic. It's like, oh yeah, we know that the church is God's family and all that. But having the true context of the church as God's family will inform the way we receive the church, the way we receive one another in the context of the church. So for example, if I view you as a member of my family, there's a certain level of concern that I'm going to have for you. If I view you as a member of my family, there's certain things that I will do. I will take, I probably will go an extra mile in doing certain things because you're a member of my family. You know, I might go that distance in the context of the church, but I might not do that to someone who is not part of my family. Do you get what I mean? For example, if someone's walking across like the street now and you don't know them, you're not really going to be too concerned about them because you don't know them. They're not related to you in any way. But if you saw a member of your family, maybe your brother or your sister, and they were maybe like walking without shoes, looking a bit, you know, you'd be like, hang on, what's what's really going on here? Do you understand? But that would only happen if you viewed that person as a member of your family. Do you understand? So what am I saying here? What I'm saying here is this. Viewing the church as a family, as God's family that you're part of, begins to give you a different perspective with regards to how you relate to the church, how you relate to the people in the church, the level of concern that you have for the people in church, like these guys had in the book of Acts. Like these guys had in the book of Acts. So, the second point I'm making is that we need to have proper context of what the church, the local church is, which is God's family, and you being part of that family as well. Now, the third point I want to make this morning is this. You know, oftentimes, because of society, you know, we go to work, we go to school, we do all these things, you know, you go to work, you go to school, and we do all these things daily, weekly, and it becomes part of like our normal lives. There's the tendency that we might extend the same approach to the church. And this is my last point today, and we'll carry on next week. What do I mean by extend the same approach to the church? Do you know one of the main challenges, right, of modern day society is a lack of connection all the time. There's social media, and someone might have like 2,000 followers on their Instagram page or their Facebook page. And you're like, man, this person has a lot of followers. You know, this person must be really popular. And it would surprise you to find out that they don't know any of the 2,000 followers, personally speaking. They don't know them. They're just people who just follow them. So it might be the case where, you know, you go to work, you have colleagues at work. There is a level of connection that you have with the people at work. It might be surface. It might be, when I'm at work, I will talk to you, but once we've left, once it's 5:30, I'm not gonna call you on the weekend and find out how you're doing. That's taking it too far. That's taking it too far. You're my work colleague. Work stays at work. There was a friend of mine that said, we were just having a conversation, and he said he knew this project manager. And this project manager worked with him on a number of projects. And this guy told him that, look, in my, 20 years of working, I've always had this policy that work stays at work. You're the first person that I have ever had any kind of relationship or friendship with outside of work. So for this gentleman, work was work. So anything personal, you know, please don't go there. You know, I don't know how you guys would feel if maybe a colleague of yours just came to you. Just, you're not like really friends per se. You're just like, you work together in the same place. And they're not like, so tell me, how are you feeling? You look a bit stressed. You're looking a bit stressed today. How are your parents? How is your spouse? Is everything going on, you know? You'd be like, hey, hang on, you know, why are you asking me all these questions? I don't know you. I mean, I've only said hi to you. That's going a bit too far. Rightly so. So why am I making this point? I'm making this point because it's very easy for us to carry the same perspective into the church. Where we come to the church, we know one another, and in our minds, subconsciously, it's like, I will go there on a Sunday, I will sing, I will have tea, and I'm just saying this rhetorically, but by the way, I will have the tea and coffee and all that, but I don't want anybody asking about my business. And it's like, hello, how are you doing? How was your week? Okay, that's still surface level. By the way, have you thought about this? Hang on, where are you going there? And in our minds, like, man, don't go there, that's my business. It's good enough that I'm it's good enough that I'm here and I've sang. Yeah, let's have light conversation. Anything above that light conversation, I'm not quite sure I want to have that. Now, why am I highlighting this point? I'm highlighting this point because as members of God's family, God wants us to take it a step further. Now, I'm not saying you should tell everybody your business or, you know, all the personal things that are going on. We should tell everybody all the personal things that are going on in our life. No, I'm not saying that. But what I'm just saying is that to begin to experience this fulfillment that God has said and God has set out in His Word, we need to have we need to let go a bit. We need to have this intention in mind that, look, yeah, I don't really know the people in church, you know, per se, but where I want to get to is where I really know them, where my life can really touch them, where their lives can really touch my own life as well. Do you understand? So I believe that should be the aim. It's just like, for example, for you know, you have like a husband and a wife, or maybe someone who's planning to get married, and there's this guy that comes to you, or this girl that comes to you, or husband and wife, and you know, you get married maybe, and you have these conversations, and there is the tendency as well in that context that the husband or the wife says, look, I'm just going to keep it surface level, although they might not say this, I'm just going to keep it surface level. I don't, all these deep conversations and all that, I don't want to get involved in those kind of things. And I will just be your friend and we'll just carry on in this relationship, surface level. Why? Maybe because they don't want to extend that level of vulnerability. They don't want to be vulnerable. If I'm too open or if I'm too caring, this person might hurt me. This person might take me for granted. So I'm just going to, you know, still, you know, keep some bits of my life to myself so that I don't expose my heart and all that. And one could live that way. And, you know, your marriage can still be good. You can still have good friendships living that way. However, in order to really experience the fulfillment and the depth of relationship that God is telling us here through His Word. We need to be willing to extend our sense of vulnerability. We need to at least give God that risk factor where, all right, this person might not be all they're saying they are, but I'm just going to put that aside. This person might not have, well, I don't know if this person has my best interest at heart. I don't know them, but I'm going to give it a go. Because if we don't move beyond that point, what we're just going to, I'm not saying we as you here, I'm just saying as a church. If one doesn't move beyond that surface level thing where you're willing to be a bit vulnerable, where you're willing to at least move towards the place where the people in the church who you trust, I put that word trust, know your business or part of your business so that they can extend that love and that support so that you can give that love and support. If one is not willing to be vulnerable to that point, at least with the people you trust, then it's just going to be like being in the office. It's just going to be like being in the office. So I'm going to leave us here with this question or with this thought. What kind of life do you want to live in the context of the church? Do you want it to be, I'm going to coin this, the office kind of relationship where it's just surface level? Is that what you want? Is that enough, really? Is that enough? I don't think so. So I'm going to end here today. And the thought this morning is living life in the context of the church. And I've said that one way, three points I made today. One way is realizing that God has done and brought the church together in such a way that we can experience fulfillment through the church, if we want to. The second point I made was that if we're going to experience that fulfillment, then we need to recognize the church as God's family, not as a social club, not as an organization where we treat it like we're going to work. No. And the third point I made is, if we're going to experience that life and that fulfillment in the context of the church, then we need to put that office life to one side and be willing to, at least with the people we trust, take that risk of vulnerability so that people can care for you and you can care for other people as well, as part of God's family. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Do you want to play for me? So this morning, I just want us to pray. You know, one thing that really keeps us from engaging, or that I've noticed that keeps people from engaging with the church, or the people in church at that level, is because for some people, they've seen a lot. They've been disappointed by people in church. People in church have maybe treated them in a way that they haven't really liked, or maybe treated some people that they know. Maybe their parents is like, you know, these guys treated my parents in this way. I'm just not going to get too involved in the church. One might not even know that you've made that decision in your heart, but you're just holding that back. And what that does is that it actually stops one from experiencing the fullness of the church. So this morning, I just want us to pray and just like really reflect and say, God, I'll pray for myself. I really want to experience the church, the love that you have set aside for me as part of the church. But whatever fears that I have, whatever pains that I've experienced, or pains that other people have experienced, from within the context of the church relationship, help me to put that aside so that I can really experience fulfillment in the context of the church. Let us pray this morning. Father, this morning we've looked at your word that says that you've made it in such a way that we will experience fulfillment in the context of the church. Father, any disappointments that we have faced in the context of the church, anything that we have seen in the past done to us or to anyone that we know that has put us off really, really letting go in the context of the church, Father, we ask that you will help us to put it aside so that we can experience you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. I also want us to pray for there are quite a lot of people who maybe they really want to engage with the church, but it's just like, look, I'm not really sure where to start here. Want to ask that God will really give us good friendships within the context of the church so that anytime we're feeling, oh man, I need to talk to someone or I'm really tired, the first place that our heart will come to is the church. So let's ask that God give us good friendships in this church. Give us good friendships. Let our hearts be knit together so that we can really care for one another. In Jesus' name, let us pray that. God, give us good friendships. Help us to have good friendships in the context of this church. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. Help us, oh God. Give us good friendships. Give us good friendships, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. We've spoken about the church this morning. How you've made it in such a way that we can find fulfillment in the context of the church. We ask that even as a local, small local church, that you will help us to begin to take those steps so that we can really love one another practically, that we can support one another practically, that we can begin to experience the fulfillment that comes out of a heart of love for one another. Help us to experience this, Father, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name.